Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Are you blessed? Well, before you answer too quick, let me go on. You knew there was a trick question in there. Some of you did already. That answer is going to depend on your definition of blessing. We often equate blessing, and not falsely or wrongly, but we often equate blessing as those good things, those good gifts that God lavishes upon us, which God does. It's those good places in our lives, those places we enjoy. A common response of many today when asked, you know, "How are you?" instead of saying, "I'm fine," one will say, "I've been blessed." When we count our blessings, what are we counting? Don't we usually count those good and positive things that are occurring in our lives, even if they're few in number because we are in a hard place at the time? Well, definitely, we should be alert to and thankful for all of the good and positive gifts that God lavishes upon us. Then we read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. If you could salvage just a few pages from the Bible, these three chapters pretty much summarize Jesus' teaching. And the majority of Jesus' teachings in these chapters turn all conventional wisdom on its head. Jesus begins with the Beatitudes. Now, one good way to remember what the Beatitudes are about, I didn't come up with this. I read it somewhere, but can't remember where I read it, so I can't give credit to anybody, but I know it wasn't my original idea. But the Beatitudes are the attitudes of what we are supposed to be, hence the Beatitudes. That's not the technical meaning of it, but that's a good way to remember it. But notice in the Beatitudes who Jesus says are blessed: the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those that are persecuted because of righteousness, which we have hungered for in the fourth beatitude. Those who are insulted, persecuted, and lied about because of their allegiance to Jesus. Add to that all of the rewards except for two, which is blessed are the poor in spirit and blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, whose reward is the kingdom of heaven. All of the other Beatitudes are future oriented. Their rewards are future tense. And so maybe I'm the only one in this room, but I've always been brash enough to admit my mistakes or my whatever they may be. I look at the Beatitudes and there's a part of me that kind of says, well, Lord, if that's what it means to be blessed, I think I'll pass. Maybe I'm the only one, but I'll admit it. To be lied about, to be persecuted, those don't sound very much like being blessed to me. But that's who Jesus says that the Beatitudes are the ones that are blessed. And remember in verse 1, introducing the Sermon on the Mount, it says, when Jesus saw the crowd, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, and he goes on into the Beatitudes. Matthew's setting of the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus teaching his church, Jesus teaching his disciples who we are supposed to be, what we are supposed to be about. And many of the Beatitudes, quite frankly, when you look at trying to live those Beatitudes in the real world, can be quite perplexing. On the one hand, a surface observation of the Sermon on the Mount, beginning with the Attitudes, can make the Christian life look quite depressing. I mean, these people, this community, considers it blessed when they mourn, when they are meek, when they are suffering persecution, when lies are being hurled about them because they follow Christ. In church history, you can find where there have been movements throughout church history where that community would seek ways to feel punished, seek ways to suffer because they felt the more they suffered, the more they were blessed. So, where does all of this stuff leave us? Well, first, the Sermon on the Mount emphasizes that those who follow Jesus do not view life through the same lens as does society or does the world. We don't measure success and failure in the same way. I don't know how many people I've known over the years. They honestly came to me and they honestly felt like they were called by God to an individual endeavor. Or they felt like they were called by God to introduce something to the church. And then, as soon as they hit the first roadblock, they said, well, I must have misunderstood because God just closed that door. Well, obviously, if we feel a nudge that we think could be a calling of God, we first need to consider that nudge through a lot of prayer and be sure that that nudge is consistent with the life and teaching of Jesus. But I don't mean to be negative this morning. I'm just being honest about Jesus. And I'm paraphrasing here. But Jesus makes some promises in the Bible that aren't so pleasant. And one of those are is that Jesus in the actual quote says, in this world you will face persecution. Paraphrasing in our thoughts this morning, I can promise you, because Jesus made the promise first, if you feel called by God to an endeavor, if you feel called by God to an endeavor in the church or your individual life, you're going to have some doors slammed in your face. I promise. Because you see, Jesus said, we will have persecution. There will be obstacles. So the Christians shouldn't be thrown off because as soon as they feel called by God, they have a door slammed in their face. Think about it. If you are called by God, the devil don't want you doing it. That's probably not real good grammar, but I hope you get the point. So if you're called by God, the devil's going to do whatever he can to put obstacles in front of you so that either you can't fulfill it or you're going to give up. So why is it a big surprise for us Christians when we feel called by God and we start chasing God's call? We have obstacles thrown in front of us. They're not surprises. They're to be expected. Those who live life through kingdom of God lenses are not surprised when the obstacles arise. We do not gauge the right or wrong of our course of action or attitude based on popularity or opinion. You know, it's no secret. In case somebody doesn't realize it in here this morning, though, it's no secret. Society is not real fond of us. Society is not real fond of Christians. I'm not talking about United Methodist. I'm talking about Christians. Society is not very fond of Christians. Actually, the bulk of the entertainment industry and probably at least half of the government wishes we would just go away. Now the thing, that does not surprise me. You know what surprises me? What surprises me is all of the Christians that are befuddled. Why don't anybody like us? Why doesn't the government like us? Why is Hollywood not like us? You would think that people would thank us for our mission, that people would thank us for our evangelism. But Jesus said, we will be persecuted. We'll be lied about. And Jesus says, when you are persecuted because you're a Christian, you are blessed. Jesus said that when you're lied about because you are a Christian, you're blessed. Jesus says, when you're striving to do the right thing and you're persecuted because of it, you're blessed. Do you see why I said in the beginning, I'm not sure if I want to be blessed? We also note in the Beatitudes that before Jesus speaks of the dislike of Christians because they are Christians, Jesus stresses the proactive nature of being a Christian. Christianity is not a religion of running from evil. Christianity is not a religion of stomping out evil. Christianity is a faith shown and lived by Jesus of overcoming evil with good. Now, I want you to hang in with me. Jesus does not say, blessed are those who avoid conflict. He says, blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus does not say, blessed are those who do not retaliate. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful. Jesus does not say, blessed are those who avoid the wrong. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus does not say, blessed are those who avoid the immoral. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. And then Jesus goes on in the Beatitudes, speaking of our attitudes. Jesus did not say, blessed are the power seekers. He said, blessed are the meek. Now, of all of the Beatitudes, this is probably the most disliked Beatitude of most of us American Christians. I looked up the secular definition of meek because that's what most of us think about when we think of meek. And the secular definitions of meek are, number one, humbly patient or docile as under provocation from others. A second definition, overly submissive or compliant, spiritless, tame. And an obsolete definition, gentle, kind. So for most of us Americans, to hear the word meek is not, if they call you a meek person, it's not very flattering. But the Bible's teaching of meek is that meekness is strength under control. If I am meek in the sense of the Bible, I am a strong person, I am a secure person, but I do not have to assert it. And then dovetailing behind that, Jesus did not say, blessed are those with a high opinion of themselves. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit are those who, regardless of their socioeconomic position, realize they are completely dependent upon God and are content wherever God places them. So the Beatitudes are like the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. The kingdom of God does not operate like nor even resemble the attitudes and the rewards of society. The kingdom of God operates on such a different set of standards, it does set the world on its head. So we come back to the original question. Are you blessed? Do you want to be blessed? We are blessed if we are viewing and living through kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven lenses. Just prior to the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had proclaimed in Matthew 4:17, repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God is taught and exemplified by Jesus occurs when persons and groups of persons conduct their lives and attitudes and actions obeying God's will, which also leads to trusting in God's promises. And thus, in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches his disciples to pray what we pray every Sunday morning, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A missionary who was a missionary in India was going to visit a village in India, and he said there was no road into the village, but you could reach the village by crossing a river, and you could cross it from either the north or the south side. And so he said the congregation that he was going to visit assumed that he was going to be coming through the southern route, so they had prepared a tremendous welcome for him, which included music, fireworks, garland, fruit, martial art dances for special ceremonies. He said anything you could imagine of a festive nature, they had it to welcome him coming in. Unfortunately, he entered from the north and found only a few goats and chickens because they thought he was coming in from the south. But somebody was passing through and they saw him, so they ran to where the group was, and so he strategically hid. And when the person who had seen him got to the rest of the group, he told them how the missionary had come in. So they did this U-turn, started marching down the road and carrying on with their festivities. And then he says, once he heard him coming down the road, he dutifully appeared. And then he concludes his account by saying this, quote, that is what repentance means. The reign of God has drawn near, but you can't see it because you're looking the wrong way. You're expecting the wrong thing. What you think is God isn't God at all. You have to go through a mental revolution. Otherwise, the reign of God will be totally hidden from you. End quote. Are you blessed? If you have repented of looking at and living life according to the lens of the world to viewing and conducting life according to the lens of the gospel, you're blessed. You're blessed because you are in a relationship and in sync with the God of the universe revealed in Jesus Christ. Are you blessed? Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, your blessings in the Beatitudes, at least to me, can sound rather challenging. But gracious Lord, I'm glad that you led those who recorded your words to include the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes. I must confess, I've not lived up to them. That too many times I've been motivated by what society teaches as opposed to what you have taught. But gracious Lord, you did not say we had to repent just one time or we only had one chance to repent. But Lord, every time we see the shortcomings of our lives, you give us that chance. And so Lord, I pray for myself and I pray for anyone that agrees with this prayer that you would give us the ability through your Holy Spirit to turn around, to put the world behind us, to put the motivations and the rewards of society behind us, and to seek your blessings. For we know as we live according to the lenses of the kingdom of God, we are in sync with the God of the universe. And what greater blessing could there be? Lord, you know each person in this room. Speak to each of us as we need to hear in the remainder of this service. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.